From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Palestinians Tuesday mark Nakba, or catastrophe, the day 70 years ago that the State of Israel was founded, prompting hundreds of thousands of Palestinians to flee or be expelled from that territory. At least two more Palestinians were killed Tuesday in clashes with Israeli security forces a day after nearly 60 died and hundreds more were wounded in protests along the Gaza-Israel frontier. Israel has come under withering international criticism for its lethal use of force, but Israeli UN Ambassador Danny Dannon defended his government's actions.
Rioters have thrown Molotov cocktails, planted explosive devices, and rolled burning tires. They have sent flaming materials over the fence, igniting widespread fires on Israel's southern agricultural lands. They have repeatedly attempted to forcibly breach the fence and infiltrate Israeli territory with the explicit goal of killing Israelis.
But the Israeli-Palestinian UN envoy, Riyad Mansour, condemned Israel's use of force. He denounced what he called the odious massacre committed by Israel and demanded a transparent, independent international inquiry. Burundians head to the polls Thursday to vote on a referendum on sweeping constitutional reform that could keep President Pierre Nkurunziza in power until 2034. Diogamba is with the group ENACT.
And that is what is behind the whole political crisis. It's because the government is not legitimate. So the referendum is going to give it constitutional and legal legitimacy.
Rights groups charge the campaign period, like the last 3 years, has been marred by intimidation and abuse. This is VOA News. North Korea canceled Wednesday's high-level talks with South Korea, suggesting the planned June 12 meeting between Kim Jong-un and President Donald Trump could be in jeopardy over ongoing joint U.S.-South Korean air combat drills known as Max Thunder and what he called the one-sided demands for denuclearization. The official Korean Central News Agency denounced the nearly two-week-old exercise as an intentional military provocation, to which U.S. spokesperson Heather Nauert professed surprise.
Well, they're certainly not provocative. These are things that we do all around the world with many of our partners and allies. These are things that have occurred for decades and decades. Again, I'll say this for a third time, Kim Jong-un had said that he understands the importance to the United States that we conduct these joint exercises. These joint exercises continue to go on.
The high-level Korean meeting was to discuss reducing border tensions and possible reunions of families separated by the Korean War. European countries on Tuesday vowed to keep the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement alive after the U.S. announced early this month it was withdrawing from the pact. European diplomats discussed next steps with their Iranian counterpart, Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, in Brussels.
I believe we are on the right track. Now, a lot depends on what we can do within the next few weeks.
Meanwhile, the U.S. announced new sanctions targeting the Iranian central bank governor for enabling millions of dollars to flow to Hezbollah through the Quds Force of Iran's Revolutionary Guard. Afghan security forces, backed by both Afghan and U.S. airstrikes, appear to be gaining the upper hand following a fast-flowing Taliban assault on the remote western city of Farah. The insurgent attack was launched in the early hours of Tuesday, with Taliban fighters using heavy weapons and night vision equipment to swiftly overrun several districts before being pushed back. The assault followed several high-casualty bombing attacks in the capital, Kabul, ahead of October's planned legislative elections. Russian President Vladimir Putin Tuesday presided over the opening of a new road and rail bridge linking Russia to the annexed Ukrainian territory of Crimea. Mr. Putin was at the wheel of an orange heavy Kamaz dump truck and drove it across the bridge. He was met on the other side in Crimea by cheering workers. Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko denounced the bridge as cynical. Russia annexed the peninsula in 2014. U.S.-based cereal maker Kellogg pulled out of Venezuela Tuesday, citing the country's social and economic deterioration. Its manufacturing plant was seized by the government of President Nicolas Maduro, who vowed to turn it over to the workers so they can continue producing for the people. The move came just days before Venezuelans are to go to the polls in national elections. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.